Familiar passage of scripture, but this morning we're going to look at it from a little different point of view. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus speaking, of course, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity we have this morning to look into it. We pray you'd guide us and direct us into the truth through the workings of your Holy Spirit. I pray that everybody would receive something from the word of God today that'll be of great help and great benefit in their walk with you. Help us to have open minds, open eyes, open ears, and an open heart to your truth today. And help us to take what we learn and make practical application. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We live in an age of great distrust. Distrust. I was reading something this week. This is what kind of led me into the message this morning. I was reading about a survey that was done back in 2013, so it's 4 years old now, but they did some research on the subject of trust, and they found that when it comes to trust, 70% of the American people that were surveyed said they do not trust their family and friends. Now, to me, that's kind of alarming. That's kind of alarming. You think about that. We have people today that think 7 out of 10 of their family and friends are liars. People who think 7 out of 10 of their family and friends would willingly and knowingly deceive them. People who think that 7 out of 10 of their family and friends would steal from them if given the chance. And they claim that the reason people think this way about others is because they judge others by themselves. And I believe that. We live in a world where many think the worst of others. We live in an age where people have lost their trust. We don't trust many politicians because, unfortunately, we often catch them in lies. We sometimes don't trust doctors because some have been caught falsifying insurance records for the almighty dollar. We don't trust many lawyers because even lawyers don't trust lawyers. Like the story of the two law partners from a small firm who were having lunch when suddenly one of them looked alarmed. And he announced, "I have to go back to the office right away. I forgot to lock the safe." And the other said, "What are you worried about? We're both here." You'll get that in a second. No trust. No trust. We hear so much about distrust these days. And yet, in this world of distrust, we Americans place the slogan on our currency, "In God we trust." In God we trust. And the question I have for you this morning is, do you? Do you trust in Him? For instance, first of all, do you trust His presence? Look again at verse 1 at what Jesus says here. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus was saying that we do not need to worry if we believe in God and believe in Jesus. He's saying, basically, I am right here to take care of you. No need to worry. So, do you really believe that you can trust in the presence of the Lord Jesus? You know, we all have sunshine friends that we can trust when everything's going well. But when things go wrong in our life, these sunshine friends will walk away and leave us instantly. But Jesus is not like that. So what was Jesus saying when he said here in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. Well, we know he was saying, you trust in God, now it's time to trust in me. He's saying that for sure. But he was saying more than that. He was saying, I know you trust in God, and you can also trust in me. And remember, when you can no longer see me, and that's the context of this passage, Jesus is about to leave. He's about to be crucified. He's about to head back to heaven, and they're scared. And so he says, remember, when you can no longer see me, don't stop trusting in me. Don't stop trusting in me. You see, we always find it easier to trust in things we can see and touch. Much more than we trust the things we cannot see and touch. Remember what Thomas said in John chapter 20, verse 25, when the disciples told him that Jesus had risen from the dead. He said, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. But then remember what Jesus said to him when he did appear to him. He said in that same chapter, John 20, verse 29, he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The Lord told Thomas, you trust me because you can see me. But notice what the Lord says about trust when he talks to Thomas. He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You see, the Lord knows how difficult it is to believe in something when you can't see it. But we do it all the time. We do it all the time. Every time we turn a light switch on, electricity flows to the light bulb and turns on the light. We can't see that electricity, but still it's there. But still it's there. Same thing is true with the wind. We cannot see the wind, but we can certainly feel it as it blows against our face as we walk outside. And the Lord knows that we cannot see him. But because of that, he says things to us like Matthew 28, 20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's saying, you'll not always be able to see me, but I will be there for you. And he is there for us forever, forever. You know, the Bible teaches us that the things we can see are only temporary. The car in which you rode to church this morning is temporary. This building and these pews that you're sitting in, they're all temporary. All the things that we can see are subject to decay. Now, we can do all we can to keep that decaying from spreading faster than we would like, but it is a losing battle. All the things you can see and touch are only here for a little while and then are gone. The Bible teaches us, though, that the things that we cannot see are forever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." All the things you can see and touch are only here for a little while and then are gone. But the Lord Jesus has promised to never leave us or forsake us. Will a mother forsake her child? Well, we know it's a tragedy when it happens. But yes, unfortunately, it happens frequently. Will a father abandon his wife and children? Again, when it happens, it is a tragedy. But yes, unfortunately, it happens frequently. But God said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The question is, do you believe that? Do you trust in his presence? Now, the second question I have for you this morning is not, do you trust in his presence? The second question is, do you trust in his promises? Do you trust in his promises? You know, people make promises all the time, and they don't keep them. Some take their marriage vows to be faithful to their spouse, but they don't keep them. Right? Some folks will become members of a church, vowing to be faithful and active members of that church, but they break those promises week after week by doing absolutely nothing for the Lord. Some, of course, promise to pay a loan on a certain day, and then they break that promise. We live in a world where people will make promises but have no intent on ever keeping them. As a pastor, I often invite people to attend church, and very often they promise to come, but then they don't come. I'll tell you what, if I had a nickel for every time our church helped somebody financially, not talking about our church individual, our church family here, but in our community, folks who are outside our church, if I had a nickel for every time we helped somebody financially in our community, and they came to me and I handed them the money and they said, "Oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for helping. What time is your church service? I'm going to be there on Sunday." And then they don't show up. If I had a nickel for every time that happened, I'd be a rich man, because I've been pastoring for 37 years and I have had it happen every time we've helped somebody financially. They said they're coming to church and I have not one time had them actually come. Not one. You see, we live in a world where people will make promises, but they have no intention of ever keeping them. But I'll tell you this, when Jesus makes a promise, you can trust him to keep that promise. And I want you to look at a great promise he makes us here right in this text, verses 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a tremendous promise. You know, the Bible uses a lot of different words to describe heaven. In one place, it's called a country, indicating the vastness of heaven. In another, it's called a city, indicating a large number of inhabitants. It's called a kingdom, indicating that there is a governmental structure to it. It is called a paradise, indicating its beauty and desirability. But here, it's called my Father's house. And that's another way of saying it is home. It's home. And what a wonderful home it will be. Now, it's described for us in detail in Revelation 21 and 22. We're not going to read all that this morning, but I challenge you to go home and look at it yourself. Tremendous a picture of what heaven is like. Revelation 21 and 22. But my favorite verse in that passage of Scripture is Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, where heaven is described this way. It says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know what that is? That's home. That's home. And that's where we as Christians long to be. And that's because for the Christian, much of us is already there. Our name is written there. Our citizenship is there. Our God and our Savior are there. Our inheritance is there. And our Christian loved ones and friends who've passed away, they're all there. And so much of us is already there. And soon, his promise will be fulfilled. And we'll be residing in our mansion, in our Father's house. And along with it, we'll get new bodies. And we won't have to worry about getting old and sick. And we won't have to deal with all the other things that plague us here. That is his promise to us. And his promises are true and faithful. I love King Solomon's testimony to the faithfulness of God's promises. In 2 Kings 8, verse 56, Solomon writes these words. He said, blessed be the God that hath given rest unto his people according to all that he promised. And then he says this. I love this. He says, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise which he has promised. Amen and amen. We can trust in the presence of the Lord, we can trust that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we can trust in the promises of the Lord. They are true and they are trustworthy. And then one more question this morning. And it's this. Are you trusting in his person? In his person. In this passage, Jesus was saying, trust in me. Let's continue here. Look at verses 4 through 6. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So he's just talked about heaven and the mansions and all of that, the Father's house. And he says, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And then the next verse, Thomas saith unto him. So here comes Thomas. We often refer to him as Doubting Thomas. Because this guy questioned everything Jesus said. That was just his nature. He was very questioning. And in this case, that was good. Because in response to Thomas's question, Jesus makes one of the most famous statements that he ever made. Thomas saith unto him, we know, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. That is, no one gets into the Father's house but by me. Now remember, just a few verses before this, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What a wonderful promise. He was saying, I'm not just going to show you the way, or tell you the way, or write out the instructions on how to get there. I'm going to come and take you by the hand to my Father's house. That's how you're going home. You trust him personally as your Savior and Lord, and he personally will come and take you to the Father's house when it's time for you to go. And all of this, his presence, his promises, his person, all of this has to do with his great love for you. And because of his great love for you, demonstrated by the fact that he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross for your sins, and because of his great love for you that was demonstrated in the fact that he has given you his word, because of that, you can trust him for the salvation of your soul simply by putting your faith in Christ. And when you put your faith in Christ, you can then claim the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that he will see to it that you make it safely home. So again, as Americans, we place the words "in God we trust" on our currency. But the question is, do you? Do you trust in him? And that is a personal question that only you can answer for you, right? Your friends can't answer that for you. Your parents can't answer that for you. Your spouse can't answer that for you. And I, as your pastor, can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that question for yourself. Do you trust in him? And of course, I encourage everyone to put their trust in God. And I'm going to close by telling you exactly what the Bible says about that. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, it says this: blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, and for this opportunity we've had to look into it this morning.